Good morning. Today's scripture reading is from Philippians 4:13. Again, that is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Good morning. You can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, that's a little better. You know, I have good news and bad news for you today. The good news is that Richard and Ellen, our regular minister, is enjoying the holiday season with their daughter, son-in-law, and grandchildren out in New Mexico. The bad news is you're going to have to receive a lesson from me this morning. And also, we're probably all going to have to see pictures of the grandkids. All right? You know, we're so very, very fortunate here at Newland Street, and that we do have Richard and Ellen with us, have for some 20 years now. And he's a wonderful teacher, a wonderful preacher of the gospel, and he's been a wonderful elder too. And so we're just very, very fortunate. But now you got to listen to me for a couple of minutes anyway, okay? The title of my lesson today is You Can If You Will. And it's a kind of a play on words, but I would like to explain why I'm using that title in the lesson. The two words, can and will, we often use them in an interchangeable way, as if they mean the same thing. They do not. Can denotes competence and capabilities, whereas the will portion is that of motivation or willingness. Therefore, you can, you're competent enough. The question is, will you? That's really always on our plate as individuals. Some people can and they won't. Some people want to, but they can't. And some people can't and won't. What God wants in His church, though, is a person who can and will. This morning, I would like for us to look at a few qualities that will help us grow as individual Christians, and thus improving this entire body here at Newland Street. First of all, I think we need to have a proper attitude. Attitude is defined as a feeling or an emotion toward a fact or a situation. So what the question I have this morning is, what is your attitude toward the church? Is it good? Is it bad? Is it a proper one? Or does your attitude sometimes possess a feeling of apathy? You know, we ourselves are our own worst enemy, because we fail to recognize the importance of our attitudes. And we allow disappointment to affect us, and so we become frustrated. I've been an elder here at Newland for some 36 years. Would you believe at times I become frustrated? I tell everyone it seems like only 50 years. All right? But we let attitude get in the way at times. You see, our response to a given action or stimulus is highly dependent upon our attitude. Our attitudes are based on a couple of things: our past experiences and the present environment in which we are in. There's not an awful lot we can do about our past experiences. We've had them. We've experienced them. The good thing is perhaps we can learn from it. But we can, though, affect the present environment. We have a present environment here at Newland Street, and if everybody's attitude becomes very positive, it can become contagious. It can become the kind of thing that everyone catches, okay? And if you don't catch it, you're kind of like a duck out of water, okay? In Philippians 2:5, Paul tells us that we should have the mind of Christ. So let's use Christ as our example for attitude. Christ in his ministry had every reason to be negative, but he wasn't. In John 1:11, we read, he came into his own, and his own received him not. We know that he was betrayed by one of the original 12, by Judas Iscariot. Peter, although being in the inner circle, denied him thrice. And we know that Christ ended his journey on this earth by going to the cross alone. In Proverbs 23:7, we read, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In Romans 8:31, we read, if God be for us, who can be against us? And in Romans 8:28, all things work together for those for good, for those that love God. So what do we have to be positive about this morning? I would say a lot. Okay? Our God is alive. Our Savior is coming again. We have the Holy Bible to guide us. And we have through the gospel a hope of heaven. Aside from attitude, we need another quality, and that is flexibility. Flexibility is defined as being capable of responding to conforming or conforming to change or to a new situation. In other words, it involves change. Some things never change. Like God. God never changes, and his plan of salvation does not change. But we read in James 1:17, the proof of that, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow or turning. God's word and his plan of salvation do not change. But almost everything else does. Do people resist change? What do you think? Well, yes, people resist at least some change. Not all change. You know, when I was working for a living, when they offered me a salary increase, I did not say no. I was welcoming that change, okay? So people resist some change, but not all change. But almost all the time, people resist being changed. Think about that. It's kind of like, I'm okay, so don't try to change me. We know a lot of marriages have gone on the rocks because once we get married, I'm going to change him. We know the results of that. So we need to try to understand other people as best we can and realize we all have different personalities. But people are special. In Genesis chapter 1, we find in all the creation, Tim read some of that creation to us this morning, that at the end of each day, God said, it was very good. But after he had made man, he said, It is very good. So it really means that we should be flexible in things that should change and not to be flexible in things like God and the plan of salvation. Okay? Another quality is that we should be confident in God's work and in His Word. The definition of being confident is one of being sure of oneself. And there seems to be a circular relationship between confidence and accomplishment. We try something and we accomplish it to a certain level of attainment, and that builds our confidence. We then try something perhaps that is more difficult. A great example of this was when I was very young. I learned how to ride a bicycle. And that was before training wheels. Okay? But now we have training wheels. And once the child is riding the bicycle with training wheels, he tries something else. That is, no training wheels. And you get riding the bicycle, you accomplish. It builds your confidence. And so then you go, look, Mom, one hand, right? And then look, Mom, no hands. And then I used to try the one where you're on the seat, you know, trying to stand on the seat. Now, you've gone too far. See, confidence can become cockiness. There's a fine line between the two. But we need to be confident. And the emphasis is on trying. In the church today, we have programs that we're trying to have people work and accomplish things. And a lot of times, people refuse to even get involved, to even try, okay? And so I'm encouraging you this morning to try. Get away from I can't, okay? And get away from overcoming failure. The question is, do we have an effect on one another in the church? And the answer is, sure we do. We need to edify and to build one another up in the church. The scripture that was read just a moment ago, Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Okay? Christ is the one that strengthens us. We also need another quality, and that is to set the proper priorities in our life. Matthew 6:33, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You see, we do what we want to do with our lives, but where is our priorities in regard to such things as church attendance, Bible school attendance, Sunday evening worship, Wednesday evening worship? Are you listening to me? Because this is a little bit of discipline needed here. When you look at the numbers that we have on Sunday morning and then you look on Sunday evening and you look at Bible school, I ask you a question. Are you setting the proper priorities in your life, where you don't think it's necessary to be here to help build me up? Okay? Because it is encouraging when our brothers and sisters are here and we're worshiping together. The involvement in the programs of the church are very important to your life's blood. And making time for one another. It seems like we don't fellowship Christians like we used to. It seems like we're not given to hospitality like we used to be. And so I'm encouraging you this morning. You know, it's tough. We know it's tough as a parent to discipline, but it's also tough to discipline in the church, because at the same time, I want to edify and build up, and yet we need to face things that are there. Are we setting the proper priorities in our life? We also need to be effective communicators. In Genesis, the 11th chapter, we read the story of the Tower of Babel. In verse 1, those people were one language. In verse 6, the people were one. There's power in speaking one language. And in verse 7, though, their language was confounded. They didn't understand one another, and therefore the project failed. Effective communications are necessary in the home, in life, and in the church. People can speak the same language and yet fail to effectively communicate. While nothing is easy as talking, perhaps nothing is as difficult as communicating. Jesus said in Matthew 12:37, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." James tells us in James 3:2, "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man." So it's very biblical to study communications. There's four main ways to communicate together. That is speaking, listening, reading, and writing. Those four. I'm told that listening represents about 45% of all communications. And speaking and listening together represents some 75% of all communications. So listening and speaking should be emphasized. Isn't it strange that the Bible tells us in James 1:19, be swift to hear and slow to speak. James also places emphasis in his book on controlling the tongue. And we know how important that is in effective communications. There's a time, according to Ecclesiastes there, 1:7 or 3:7, a time to speak and a time to be silent. There's power in words. Proverbs 25:11, you've heard this verse, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. We need to effectively communicate with each other in the church. Elders and deacons need to effectively communicate with the congregation. Preachers with elders and deacons and members. Members with each other. If we have effective communications going, we can be described as a working definition of effective communications. The more effective we can make our communications, the faster the church will grow. Let's not forget, though, our communications with God. That is very, very important. God communicates with us through His Word. We communicate with God through prayer. And so let's not forget that. Also, we need to be industrious workers in the church. The poet Henry Longfellow said, "We judge ourselves by what we feel capable of doing, while others judge us on what we have already done." That is so true, okay? So if there is any secret to success, it's simply to do your best on every task and do it in a timely fashion. We need to immerse ourselves in the task. Whatever it is, don't think of any job in the church as being unimportant. It is not. You see, there's no substitute for work. Worthwhile things come from hard work. Don't be like the fellow who said, "I love work. It fascinates me. I can sit and look at it for hours." All right? That's not what we want to do. The scriptures have something to say about work. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, It says, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So when we work in the church and we work for the Lord, it's not in vain. It's not useless. It's meaningful. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that you may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Lastly, the quality that I would ask us to look at is one that we need to continue to grow and develop as Christians. In 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are we doing that today? Are we growing? Or are we the same Christian we were 10 years ago? In 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. You know, as I look at this and I grow, want to grow and I want to study, and then I don't think Bible school is important, I think there's something wrong there. Okay? I just ask you to evaluate it. In summary this morning, see, the good news is it's going to be shorter, okay? In order to achieve and be pleasing to God, we need to, number one, have the proper attitude towards the church, to be flexible, to be confident in the Lord's work, to set the proper priorities, to be effective communicators, one with another. We need to be industrious workers in the church, and we need to grow and develop as Christians. There's all kinds of other things we probably need, but those, I think, will help us as we grow. As we look at next year coming on the scene, this is what we want to try to do together. And so I encourage you to look at these things as well as others. Set the proper priorities. We have a lot of goals in life, guys, okay? We have goals in our education area. We have goals in our jobs. We have goals in our families. And we have goals to reach heaven. And if you're not setting the proper priorities, things can go amiss, okay? And we don't want that. We want to offer an invitation at this time. We do every time we meet together. We want to offer that invitation. There's two types of people sitting out in front of me today. Number one, those of you who have obeyed the gospel and are on your road to heaven. That's wonderful. Some of you may not have obeyed the gospel. And so I want to talk to you right now. You need to. All right? Maybe it is because you do not know enough. You haven't got into the Word of God enough. Come forward and we will set up a study with you. Or if you have got into the Word and are just waiting for the proper time, you have found it. All right? You need to come forward and render obedience to God. Because what we all want, and what I especially want, is for everyone in this audience to be assured that they can have salvation, that they can go to heaven. That's what we want. And if we didn't care about you, we wouldn't even be talking, okay? But we do care, and we want everyone to lead the kind of life that God would have us to lead and go to heaven so that we can all be there one day with our loved ones. Chris? Let's sing an invitation song. Will you come, please?